Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
NYYST. Hold up. Why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where the problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play a roulette with each step I progress, no less. Go ahead and place your bets. Cause we know who we are, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops here. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up.
Welcome back. This is episode 484 of the NYYST podcast. We're here live on NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, and I'm with my co-host, Sem.
What's up?
And we're with SGR.
Okay.
What up? What up?
Hey, now.
What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Not much, man. Special day and time here for the NYYST podcast live on NYYU. We're usually Thursday night at 8. Instead, we're here Wednesday at 8:30. But you know what? You know, we always say life gets in the way of the show sometimes. And Pete's like, hey, you guys want to do Wednesday? And I'm like, yeah. Well, if I can make a live show work, I will make a live show work. It's just I love the energy of being live and interacting with the chat here. So... And I didn't think we were going to have anybody to do the show tonight, and I got both of you handsome devils here, so this is going to be a good show, I think. I'm feeling it here.
Yeah, I feel good about it today, you know? It feels good to be here.
Tom, you want to say anything, or are you just going to look like the Undertaker in the corner over there? Actually, Ryan's in the corner.
Who's in the corner?
Yeah, I'm down in the bottom Ryan's corner here. Corner. I'm Brady Bunch down here. The bottom
I'm just
right
over here vibing.
Chain.
Yeah. We out here vibing. That's an Ariana Grande song. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
I know a lot about Ariana.
I don't listen to Ariana Grande.
Chris, not our Chris, the other Chris. I'm not gonna say his last name. I don't want to put him on blast here. He named his daughter after Ariana Grande.
No, he didn't. Stop that.
That's interesting.
Is that really why?
That is confirmed.
Really?
No, I'm gonna text him right now.
You can do whatever you want, bro.
He's famous.
Wow. Yeah, he almost got asked, can I spell the word? Is that going to flag YouTube? I don't know. But he almost got a little pokey pokey from a deranged guy at the place that he works at.
Only him.
So we're here live tonight on the U chat. If you're joining us here live on the chat, please like this video, subscribe to NYY Underground. And if you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform here Thursday morning, I don't know. Can you like podcast? I don't know. I hope you guys like this one. That's why you're listening to it right now.
I just liked it.
But subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. Make sure you tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. I'm in a better mood than I really should be. I guess it's seeing SGR's beautiful face. I don't get to see it that often. And Sem's here. He wasn't supposed to be here tonight. So maybe it's just the combo of you guys being here. But I shouldn't be in a good mood right now. Even though the Yankees won today, I should not be in a good mood. Because the Yankees were so very close from being a team that had a lead of 7 games like a month or so ago. We're not even kidding. Like a month or so ago. To a team that is now 3 games behind the Red Sox in the standings. Now, the Red Sox flipped like 12 games on the Yankees in about a month and a half here. So you take all that into consideration. The Miami series. how things went down in Texas, that I should be in a lot worse mood than I am in right now, but that's just what one win can do for you as a fan. That's what we talk about. Your mental health suffers being a baseball fan here. And the Yankees were dangerously close in this game today. They fell down 1-0. They get the lead. Higgy helped them out with the throwing error. They're up 2-1. Rodon immediately gives it back. And we're going into the late stages of this game where you know this bullpen is gas. Boone was in this bullpen a lot the last couple of days here. And you were wondering how the Yankees were going to get to the finish line, where, especially when Rodon didn't get deep into this game. Okay? We're dangerously close from being a team that was 7-up in the division, had a commanding lead to even be still be the top wild card team, to on August 5th not even holding a playoff spot. We were dangerously. What was you?
No, I was just going to say May 28th was when they had that 7-game lead. Snap. That's.
And I think they were even up. They were up six. They were up 5 or 6 games when this whole skid started in Boston on like June 13th. So they had a substantial lead even 6 weeks ago. They had a substantial lead in this wild card, you know, through the past couple of weeks here too. But the Yankees were dangerously, dangerously close, because if they would have lost today, then they would have lost the tiebreaker to Texas should they had wound up tied for that third wild card at the end of the season. So we were in really uncharted waters, that we were talking about August 5th here of the New York Yankees not even holding a playoff spot. But Boone, to his credit here today, and we're gonna, and I'm telling you, I'm taking the shovel out and I'm gonna dig a hole for Aaron Boone here in a few minutes. But to his credit today, because Bruce Bochy got Jack Leiter out of his game early. He wanted Aaron Boone to go to his bench, and Boone saved his bullet for the right time. He saved Paul Goldschmidt for the second lefty that came into that game, and it worked. Home run. And David Bednar, I know things went sideways in a hurry on Friday night, but this guy has done something that Devin Williams is incapable of doing, and that's showing intestinal fortitude on the mound, because that's what he did today. He threw 40-something pitches today. That was the most pitches he's thrown in a game in over 3 years. And Aaron Boone wanted to take, and Aaron Boone probably should have taken him out of the game today because of where he was going pitch count.
I thought he was giving him.
But Aaron Boone, and again, to his credit, I always say this, man, I will be fair on this show. To his credit, looked in that guy's eyes. He told him, I got this. And Boone said, go get it. And he went out there and got it. So maybe that's what's kind of changed my mood, is that Aaron Boone had a good game today. He listened to his player. He let his player go out there and get it. And my goodness, man, what a win for the Yankees today, that at least stems the tide here a little bit, that they can go get on that plane to go back home. Still, I mean, we're grasping at things here, but to still hold one of these wild card spots, it staved off the negative energy around this team, at least for one day.
I missed most of the game today. I only got to listen to it. What happened? Judge got a hit. Fill me in here.
I didn't see most of it until about the ninth inning. So
Goldschmidt got the go-ahead homer.
Yeah, Goldie had the go-ahead home run. Yeah.
Because I was at a wake, so obviously I couldn't pull my phone out and watch it.
I mean, you could have.
I could have.
A little bit disrespectful.
It's frowned upon, but I mean, listen, after the losses we've had.
You've eaten Swedish fish out of wake before, okay?
Oh, gee. Oh, man, I know. I'm such a horrible person for that.
Also, Volpe had an RBI single that tied it at 1. Texas scored first.
Oh, yeah, what's going on with Volpe? Volpe, all of a sudden, he's like, oh, hi, I want to play.
He's ever since the All-Star break, he's doing the same thing he did last year. It's almost like he needs that little breather.
You know what I heard on the radio today? Since the All-Star break, we have the same record as the fucking White Sox.
I saw that too. That's not a great stat too.
How bad is that, that you're now the New York Yankees, one of the highest payrolls in the league, and now you're being compared to The White Sox.
Well, former White Sox, though, Carlos Rodon looked good today. We'll take that. We'll take that if we're going to have the White Sox in the sentence, you know?
Yeah, but he's doing this thing now where he's just not – he's
a lot of walks.
A lot of walks, not throwing a lot of strikes, not being able to get deep into games. And, I mean, the Yankees starting pitching is a little suspect right now because I don't think – did Rodon even get into the sixth? Like I said, I wasn't really
– I want to say he got pulled in the sixth.
So you Freed went five, Warren went five. This guy went what, 5 1/3 or 5+, something like
that.
Yeah,
so I don't know if it was 5 1/3 or 5+, but he did get pulled.
I know you went out there and got all these relievers, but let's not be in such a, you know, let's get some length out of our starting rotation here. And Black Betty in the chat said praising the 1-5 Yanks. I am allowed to come on here and when somebody does something good, say, hey, they did a good job. Don't worry, Betty. If you want us to sit here, and I just said it, if you want to sit here and get the shovel out for Aaron Boone, we're going to do that. Trust me. But I'm also going to come on here and be fair. And the game ended, what, like 3-4 hours ago? So it's recent. Let's talk about today's game and things that we wanted to see out of Aaron Boone here to use his head a little bit, maybe trust his guys, not get outmanaged. And he did it today. But the bigger question at hand here, before we get into some other topics, since we're talking about Aaron Boone, is did he save his job by the Yankees winning today?
No.
Well, what do you mean by save his job?
By saving his job.
They lost today, was that it?
If the Yankees had lost today, is Aaron Boone the manager on Friday?
Yeah, I think he's the manager now until his contract's up. He just re-signed, right?
I'm out here. Betty, listen, if you love us, then you should know our stance on Aaron Boone. And I appreciate you saying I love you guys, but you should know our stance on Boone, okay?
Yeah, no butt in there. You could just say and Boone is a disgrace. There's no
Boone
butt
is
in there.
Yeah, we know. I mean, we're going to get there. But like I said, I'm always going to be fair on the show. I thought he had a good game today. I'm literally sitting here talking about did this game save his job?
Yeah, it's the wrong conjunction there. We don't know about there. We don't need that.
If the Yankees lose today, if you put this all together, the Yankees lose today.
Okay.
0-6 road trip. That means winless since the trade deadline. When every Yankee fan had a better feeling about this team that Brian, and I'm still not backing off that. I thought Brian Cashman went out there and did a hell of a job at the trade deadline this year. I really do. That he goes out there, he turned over, they got 7 new players at the trade deadline. He turned over 1/3 of his friggin' roster.
Yeah.
Then they would have went 0-6, fallen completely out of the playoffs. And this is why, and I'm fully in agreement with you guys that I have always thought that this extension meant that he was safe, but there was a lot of noise coming. A lot of noise coming from not just us. I mean, we've been talking about this for how long about Aaron Boone getting fired, right? But there was a lot of noise. It was picking up a lot of steam. You've had people like Bill Madden and Joel Sherman saying, I don't openly call for guys' jobs, but could he?
Yeah.
Could he have saved him? I mean, would he have been able to get home, get on the plane, going 0-6 and losing a playoff spot that the Yankees would have woke up tomorrow morning on Thursday morning and not even have been a team that owned a playoff spot? Could he have survived that? Did this win today buy him at least the rest of the season here? Because if you aren't going to do it today, off day, going back home, I think he's now safe for the rest of the year. But did this win change his fortunes here?
Nah, I'm saying with Ryan, I don't think he was going to get fired at all. I mean, there are a lot of people calling for it. And when you watch him in interviews the past, like, 2 days, you look at his face, it looks different. It almost looks like maybe he was threatened. Hey, get it together, you're gone. I don't know, but he looks shook, or more so where he's just, you know, making the bullshit excuses. He looks a little disheveled. Like he might be actually finally losing sleep over it.
I think for the first time, he was feeling the fire under his chair there.
Yeah, feeling the fire, and then with Brad Ausmus being there too, it kind of has you have someone with the experience that they haven't really had in years past. So that would have been a possibility, but I think this game definitely bought him some time going forward. If that was even a thought in their minds, but I don't really think. You know, they haven't fired a guy. Who's the last manager they truly fired? Was it
the only person that Brian Cashman fired in season was when they let go of, was it last year or 2 years? No, it had to be 2 years ago.
What, the hitting coach you're
the
saying?
The hitting coach. That was the only. Yeah.
But what about head coach or manager?
Manager. I don't think they've actually. Yeah, but who had probably yeah, would have to go Buck, back to right? Buck.
Did Buck even get fired, or was he just not brought back? Because that's been the case honestly, for the last two prior Joes, and Booney's got a re-signed contract here. So
I don't remember what. So maybe somebody in the chat. Out. Yeah, see if Buck was actually fired, or they just didn't renew his contract there. Girardi was not fired. People don't. Okay, I don't. That really annoyed.
Showalter was not brought back. Okay.
I'm not seeing if he just had his contract. I think his contract after the season, they offered a two-year contract, but he wanted a three-year deal. So they didn't. Contracts negotiation stalled there a bit. And then he was replaced by Joe Torre.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
I think it would have been really that might have been the straw that broke the camel's back, because there was so much groundswell from people that cover this team. Like when you start having guys like Joel Sherman and Bill Madden posting on social media, I don't call for guys' jobs, but you get that out of them. And then you would have been coming home to face the Houston Astros on Old Timers Day weekend. This would have been if they had lost today, this would have been the first legitimate time that I would have sat there and said he really had a chance to go. I really thought that the tidal wave was coming for him, because how the hell are you going to trot him out on Old Timers Day, which they would have done against Houston, a team that he can't beat in a big spot. His teams have never beat Houston in a big spot. That would have gotten ugly, man. And I don't know if even Brian Cash. And again, the extension is the only. But I think that at that point, man, they might have said, forget the extension.
I think if they got swept right by Texas and then they go and get swept, because it's Houston right now, right? Like right after.
Yeah, they're coming home to face Houston.
Then if they were to, let's say, get swept by Houston, then I think. Because that Old Timers Day would have been the nail, like to lose on Old Timers Day to be the last game as a Yankee. But I don't see it happening.
For the Yankees, they snapped a 5-game losing streak today. If had they have lost, that would have been their third 6-game losing streak since the middle of June. Three in a month and a half. That's how poorly the Yankees have played since they hit Boston after they hit their high water mark after sweeping Kansas City.
Well, avoided it. Good job.
Yeah, here's the thing though, right? There is no part of me, even after today, and this is where you have to correct people. Did Aaron Boone have a good game today? Yes. But should he still be the manager of the Yankees? No. Obviously, it's only one game. We need more evidence on top of this. Now they go out. But here's the thing. They lost 6 in a row, and it stopped with Cody making that play in Citi Field. They went out and won 5 in a row. And what did it really mean? Because they came out They lost the last two games to the Cubs. Then they lost the first one to Atlanta. Then they went back up to Toronto, lost the series. They get swept by Miami. So what does that? What does anything mean? Even if the Yankees go out here and play good baseball against Houston, what does it mean? Because
that
then they got
the, and isn't that the most frustrating part of the season in a way? Is because they're having these statement type of games where they'll win a game that you feel is like a statement right now that they just turn the corner, and then the next game they come out and it's you're proving your point of it meant nothing. That's a very frustrating and point about this team this year.
I can think of three of them right off the top of my head.
Yeah, Atlanta guys... involved one of them involved Atlanta, I want to say.
Well, that would be a fourth one. Remember when Jazz hit that big was it a bases clearing double late in that game against Baltimore, the 11:30 game? That could have been I even said that could be like a season changing win, meant nothing. Cody makes that play, they don't get swept in Citi Field. They go on a little bit of a run there. Then you feel like maybe then it's really turning the corner when they're getting no hit by Brian Wu and they come back from down 5-0.
The Seattle game, yep.
Then the peak of the whole thing right there was then they blasted the Cubs on Friday night. And then it meant nothing.
They lost the next two, right? Yep.
Then they had to go the bullshit bullpen game coming out of the break. And then they had that big win, the come from behind win against Atlanta in the middle game on that Saturday night, and it meant nothing. So today could be another one of those days where you said they had a gutsy win. Boone managed his game well.
Good job, Booney.
And what does it mean?
Means nothing. Apparently, I have disappeared, according to Raymond in the chat. I am right here, Raymond. All right, Hal is right here. If you have anything you need to say, you could talk to me and talk. We'll talk together, Raymond, and I will answer any of your questions. Sorry.
I
got triggered.
I know you get very triggered easily, and you have multiple personalities in there, so there's a lot
they're bottled up in there, and then they shoot out of me. It's not good. It's a problem. It's a problem. All right. What up, Ray?
Are you all right?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So, Sam, do you feel this win saved Aaron Boone's job, or do you think it wouldn't have mattered how they lost today?
No, I don't think it would have mattered. For the first time, though, yesterday I did feel, and listening to the radio all day today, I did feel like maybe, you know, like there was like a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. I thought maybe it was a possibility, but then you think about it and you come snap back to reality. You're like, I ain't getting fired. I don't think that he'll lose his job in the middle of the season. I think if they got swept again today and they got swept by the Astros, I think it was a good possibility, like maybe like a 70, like a 30-70, like chance that he might lose his job, like 30% that he would, 70% he won't, you know. But it was just the look on his face. Then I heard some other interviews and the way he's talking, and you could tell he doesn't. There's something going on, whether he was called into the office, something happened, because he has a different demeanor about him when he was been talking the past day or two. You know, it's not, it's right there in front of it. We got to get it. And he's kind of admitting that they're sucking and there's some things going on. I think yesterday really, really put the screws to him, because he knows how big of a mistake he made yesterday. So, and I think that was such a big glaring issue in your face. Hey, look, I really messed up. That nobody in their right mind could make an excuse for it. And it's right there in your face that the owners and the general manager, everybody knows that was a fuck up. And I think it was an oh shit moment for him. Finally.
Well,
you're seeing how he's talking to the media too. I mean, it started with the John Boy interview. Even Meredith, he was kind of giving some attitude.
The John Boy interview was like, I watched only a few. You could tell right off the bat.
The clips I saw of him with them this week, he was a different guy. He was like, it was like it's like the starch was taken out of him, man. Because he was even like, normally when they bring up something that he does that wrong, he wants to fight them. But he's like, he said, oh, He said, yeah, you know what? I agree with you on that one. I'm like, what?
Yeah. But it's not like him.
No, because I think it was starting to get to him. And here's my problem with Aaron Boone. Just in this past week, okay, and I talked about this on the show I did on Sunday after they got swept by Miami. You could play Friday night's game 100 times, and 100 times the Yankees are going to win that game. That one of those three guys is going to come out there and get the necessary outs for the Yankees to win. The fact that all three of those guys blew the game, well, it was just, I don't even have a word to describe it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I completely lost my train of thought here.
Oh, well, that's that's not going to happen.
But he admitted on that interview that loss on Friday disheartened the entire team and they had not been able to snap out of it.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah.
Huh.
Isn't that your job to snap them out of it? That's what you're there for. Everybody wants to tell me that he doesn't make the lineups. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. He is there to manage the personalities in that clubhouse.
He said that, though. He has said that before, and he actually took responsibility for that in a recent interview that I saw, a post-gamer, where he's like basically just described what you said. That is his job, to do that and to get them to focus on winning and getting the most out of his players, and he's not doing that. And he did say that. He said, it's on me. And, you know, he does have to do a better job. So maybe this is his way of kind of like the leash is off now and they've had enough of a time to kind of have these excuses. And maybe we're seeing a Booney new leaf here.
Because you saw the game on Saturday. That team was flat. Flat. That team was as flat as an ironing board on Saturday. And then I'm sitting there watching Jazz Chisholm make one of the dumbest plays that I can't even comprehend that he did this. And I can't even comprehend the fact that Boone and him both defended it.
Yeah. And then he's joined the first base coach in the dugout. Why him?
Mm.
And then he said to those guys that he regretted yelling at I made a joke that nobody would even realize if he wasn't there. And I think his name is Chapman, right? I think I called him Travis Chatham the other day. But he's like such a if you were filming a movie for a baseball team and like, go get me somebody that looks like a first base coach. They pulled that guy out of fucking central casting. That he's just like the most nondescript person ever. But Boone made sure that he yelled at him in front of everybody. And then, you know, he's like, Boone's like trying to explain it like, oh, I didn't really, it's not something that warrants benching because he's trying to, what play is he trying to make there? If the second baseman wants to drop the ball so a slower runner is at first, you let him do that. You can't get doubled off there.
Nah, that was weird.
So, again, I've said numerous times, like, I don't want Boone to come out and throw his players under the bus because I don't think that's necessary. I don't think, you know, ripping on your players in the media is a good thing, but you don't have to friggin' lie about it either. Cause this is what always pisses me off about him is the goddamn gaslighting.
Mm.
Oh, he was trying to make a play there. No, he wasn't. He had his head up his ass. Oh, he played with the second baseman. He's seen him do. So what? That's a game you want to play? Come on, man. And how many times you got to sit there and watch this team, and how many times they've had plays like this, and Boone tries to explain it away.
Yeah, it's weird, especially a team that's so analytically driven. I mean, what were the analytics on that catch probability there, you know, on that play? What are we doing?
Oh, dude, it comes down to the fact that, listen, you want to be the manager, you got to be a leader, and I don't think Boone is a leader. You can't be a leader and just make excuses for everybody all the time and allow this type of things to happen. He needs to hold people accountable for it, which he's not doing. It seems that he's starting to do it a little bit, and kudos, good for him. He's going to take a step in the right direction. But what, in season 8 of this bullshit? Like, you should have learned this your first or second season of doing this. He's not a leader. You can't allow your team to go out there and bad play after bad play after bad play, and we keep seeing the same repetitive stuff happening. If you're not going to put the fire to your guys' feet, sometimes you need to do that, and that's what makes you a good leader, because you need to get the best, you need to get the potential out of your players. And to do that, you need to handle everybody differently. Some guys you might have to call out in front of everybody. Some guys you might have to pull into a room and might have to coddle them a little bit. It is what it is, but he's not doing that because we're not seeing the results, because he's not a leader. He's a wet, he's a limp noodle. You know what I'm saying? There's no backbone to him, it seems like, when it comes to the players. You know, even when Marcus Stroman was getting up in Glaber's ass last year, Judge had to be the guy to go over to him and said, hey, we don't do that. That should have been Boone over there, up there, saying, hey, cut it out, stop it now. Because Boone is not a leader. He's a play picker. I don't know like how you want to say it. Like, listen, I had a mechanic at my job. He wasn't a mechanic. The guy was a parts changer. The guy could turn a wrench, great, but he didn't know how to diagnose what was wrong with it. He'd go on YouTube to figure it out. That is the equivalent of Aaron Boone. He could sit there and he could take his analytics sheet and he could look at it and say, hey, you know, this is what we're going to do. When this guy comes up, we're going to put this pitcher here and we're going to put this guy at this base here. And the second that something goes awry and doesn't go to plan, Aaron Boone goes haywire. He short circuits and doesn't know what to do in that situation. That is the problem, and that's what we've been going through all season long, and that's what led to Devin Williams getting put into the eighth inning yesterday, because that was Aaron Boone's play call. That was on his sheet what he was going to do, and he's like, yep, I'm going to do this, and when we get here, and he did it, and he failed miserably, and he fell on his face, and we're all pissed off at him for it. His skirt got lifted up. We all realized that Aaron Boone sucks. Hal Steinbrenner says Aaron Boone sucks. Brian Cashman says Aaron Boone sucks. And now Aaron Boone's on there having these interviews, talking to people, saying, oh, my God, they know that I suck. The secret's out. And that's why he seems so sad right now, Aaron Boone sucks.
I mean, the secret's been out. Okay, I don't know. You've been watching. Okay, somebody said to me on a video that I made, he's like, you just realizing this now? What do you mean I'm just realizing this now? You're new here, pal. We've been realizing this. SGR has been here since day one. How long have we been talking about this, bro?
Big time, big time. It's a lot of what I'm hearing now through like Yankee Twitter and stuff I've heard you say for too long. The lack of fundamentals, lack of accountability, the gaslighting.
It's gotten me to where it's gotten me, and which is not a lot here, but I don't take any comfort out of knowing that a lot of shit that spreads through social media, if you've heard on this channel, on this podcast for a long time before people started realizing it. But, you know, I've always said we're usually ahead of the curve on these types of things, man. And the people still want to defend Boone and say, well, nothing changes until Cashman's gone. Yeah, no kidding. We've been saying that probably since 2022. At least. We get it. But that doesn't mean you don't make a change here. And that's my favorite thing that I love hearing. It was the same thing when Volpe was really struggling. Well, they don't have a better option. Well, now the Yankees traded for two options. Notice how Anthony Volpe's playing a lot better now. Huh? Interesting how
Funny
that
how
works.
That works. Yep.
Funny how that
About
works
the same
now.
Same thing, Christian.
I said that to Marisa the other night in bed. It's
your dirty talk with your wife is about Anthony Volpe.
Yes, that is my foreplay.
Rosario right behind him. Oh,
yep. it's so bad, dude.
Whatever you got to do.
That's any opportunity I could get. Backdoor slider.
I got a bobblehead.
You got the bobblehead?
Yeah, I got it.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's
but
nice.
I don't want it.
Yeah, I didn't unbox it, but the picture looks nice.
Wait,
I'm looking at it right now.
That's the game you went to?
No, it was a different game. Someone gave me this one.
Oh, this right here. This is how fucking sick that I am.
You're out of your mind.
I know you'd have had it.
If I have Jacoby Ellsbury, how am I not getting that one? I mean, come on.
It's gimmicky, like the bobble leg that Nestor had.
I have that, but
got traded. I didn't realize.
Yeah, to San Diego. He hasn't come back from like the second game of the year. Where's Kevin Cruz? Okay, where is that guy? Is he in the chat tonight, Kev? You there, bro? that friggin' bobblehead's in my closet, bro. You gonna come get it? I gave you my address. Shit. You coming to get it, bro?
What is it? The Nestor one?
The Nestor bobble leg with the turtle.
Right.
You coming to get it? I gave you my address in the chat.
Kicking with Roy said he heard the Volpe bobblehead came with an error.
What the hell were we talking about? Sam Dirty talks his wife with Anthony Volpe. Well, his wife's Italian. Volpe's she's Italian as it gets. So maybe that gets her going there.
I was told today that remember Abner Louima way back in the day.
Who? Why Abner do I know Louima? That name?
Because he's the one that got backdoor slidered with the broken broomstick by the police officers. I think one of the police officers' last name was Volpe or something like that. That's what I'm being told about the Yankees now. We're equating Anthony Volpe to dirty cops.
That's basically...
Okay. That's all right, let's get to the super chat from Braden Beast 100. He says, is Bednar the new closer? We'll get there. We're working our way there, buddy. Okay, thank you for the super chat.
Sure, we'll get there, Bray.
But we're getting there. Now I remember. See, it comes back around eventually.
You got there.
People say to me, what? It's like, did you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, right?
I do.
Remember the season when he did the producers with David Schwimmer and he couldn't remember his line, so he does like the little, and then he's like, aha, I got to work around it and it'll come back. I got to work around it.
Yeah, and then he's like talking to the audience pretty much.
Yeah. So, and that's what we were doing. We were talking to the audience. Now it came back to me. And people say to me,
Nice.
Well, who are you going to replace him with? To quote Dwayne The Rock Johnson, it doesn't matter who you replace him with. Okay? It literally doesn't matter. You have two former MLB managers on this coaching staff, two of them. You could give it to Mike Harkey. You think anybody's going to get smart with Mike Harkey?
Oh, Mike Harkey would be a wild card pick for me. That's a guy that I would pick. But it would be Brad Ausmus, no?
I mean, if it were to be anybody. I would most likely, you would just probably promote the bench coach. But don't forget, Luis Rojas is there. I would say Mike Harkey would start power bombing people.
Hey, I'm not fucking with Harkey. I'll tell you that right now. But let me ask you something, dude, because I'm hearing it's like a lot of this is on Boone not getting the most out of his players. He's not holding himself accountable. But how much of this is there a bit of the lack of holding the players actually accountable for this? And maybe they need their own self-motivation to dig themselves out of it? Because I'm noticing a few players here that are just presenting themselves like with a defeated mindset, or they just present that way. At least like Devin Williams, I'm not seeing like he wants it for some reason. And I bet that's not actually the case, but I mean, talk about personal accolades and personal like what you want from the sport. I mean, that's a guy who is playing for a lot of money right now. He's on his contract year, and he's playing for a different type of contract. He's either going to be a closer or a middle reliever. It's the difference of millions of dollars. How much of this are we kind of forgiving this team for not doing their jobs?
Well, specifically Devin Williams, I want to table that right now.
How much of this can we actually just equate to it being on the players?
It's a fair point. Which is where I'm at
with this team.
It's a very fair point, which a lot of people come back at me. Well, he can't swing the bat. No shit, Sherlock. He can't swing the bat. And I wish if I could go back to 2003, I'd make sure he never swung the fucking bat, okay? I'm telling you right now, man.
You absorbed the curse with that?
I tweeted that last night. It's gotten a lot of likes on it. And so a lot of people are like, well, I'll never give that back. I remember where I was when it happened. So do I. I remember exactly where I was when it happened. I nearly missed it. I'm walking down the stairs from having gone to take a leak in between the inning break, and it happened so fast I nearly missed it. Okay? I remember saying for a long time, for like one singular moment, that was the greatest sporting moment I have ever witnessed as a fan, because the championships didn't have that game seven do or die, you know, because the Yankees won all of them in six or less, really, until the Giants won the Super Bowl in 2007. I mean, for one singular moment, that 2007 Super Bowl is going to trump everything. But that home run is not worth the last 8 years that we've had to endure with this bubble blowing buffoon in the dugout. It's not worth it. Now, if that home run led to the Yankees winning a World Series, it's a different story, but they lost. So winning a pennant is not worth the last 8 years. I'm sorry. I'm dying on that hill. If that home run meant, if that home run cosmically connected all the dots to him getting the job, I'm giving the home run back.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they won a World Series after it.
And Braden Beast back again if we were to hire a new manager, Posada. You know what? I think it's very interesting.
He's not athletic enough.
That. Because you guys know I collect all the stadium giveaway bobbleheads. I have every single one. I even have fucking Jacoby Ellsbury.
Uh-huh. They don't have a Posada?
There's no Jorge Posada.
Interesting, dude. Wow, you're getting deep.
Why is that? What do you think that's about?
Maybe it's some bad blood when he got that Marlins job or something.
We have multiple ones of Anthony Volpe, multiple ones of Aaron Judge, multiple ones of Gerrit Cole. Like the Cole and Judge ones I get because, you know, Cole, the one on my desk here is with Cy Young. Judge has got a couple. He's the captain of the team. He hits 62 home runs. This week they're going to give out another MVP one to him. What else do we have up here? You know, we got one of Yogi Berra as a player, one of him in his Navy uniform.
CC, it was Yoda.
Yeah, we got a couple of CC here. We got Derek Jeter as Captain America. We got Derek Jeter, regular one. We got Derek Jeter from his final home game. We got Mariano Rivera, who's not even American, as Captain America. I mean, we got all these friggin' bobbleheads here, but no Jorge Posada. What's that about? Bucky Dent's got one. Really, Randolph's got one. I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess you want to go back to see, we're looking for older guys with moments and stuff. Fine. But Jorge Posada, a core four dynasty member, doesn't have one. Brett Gardner's got two of them. No, none for Jorge.
There's a Columbus Clippers Jorge Posada bobblehead out there. Not seen any giveaways in the past for Posada, though.
Scott's right. Okay. His name is not Scott Wright. It's Scott's right. Okay. Posada probably has no interest in working for the team as long as Cashman's here. It's probably
Posada.
True.
Okay. Posada. Okay.
Nah. I mean, it's gotta be Girardi back with Jeter and Posada. I want all of them. Or Mattingly on his own.
You want all of them. Donnie Baseball comes back.
There has to be some 90s blood in there. So if he is getting replaced by someone, I want it to be someone with that 90s blood in them, with that mentality. Even and fucking, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but I like what A-Rod, like how A-Rod talks about the team and what the Yankees stand
for. I do,
for.
But you know, knows people what he were saying that he should manage. He'll never manage. That's so beneath what Alex Rodriguez wants to do with his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, I understand like everything that he's going through with his son. His son passed. We remember that story from a couple months ago. I thought, man, Brett Gardner was just like born to be Yankee manager.
Yeah, man. I wish they got to give me a call, man. I got to get back there. It's another guy. I mean, did I have any giveaways, Christian?
You got two of them. You got two.
I do.
Yeah, you got one stealing second once base.
The Megamond giveaway when they did the Megamond crossover, we did that.
And then one in your signature pose after you hit a home run. You know,
that's right.
You know,
I was flexing on there.
You know how Gardy's got the bat.
Those are good times. Well, maybe they just used all my bobbleheads for the Volpe ones because we had the same number. Because he took my number. They didn't retire it. They gave it to Anthony Volpe.
So, all right. I don't know what Gardy wants to do with his life here, but
Gardy would be sick, dude.
Gardy would be a guy that
they didn't say anything with him with Old Timers Day. He's not going to be there.
I didn't. They're honoring the 2000 team, so
I would love for him to be there. But I of course,
I understand what. Yeah, obviously, yeah, you understand what he's going through here,
right? For sure.
Braden Beast again, three super chats. Okay. He goes, I heard the players don't like Girardi. I don't know if that's true. Well, you know what? It's like Tony Soprano said, you don't have to love me, but you have to respect.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like maybe they shouldn't like them. Maybe
because here's the thing. All the New York, all you hear from all these people that want to talk about Aaron Boone's job, the team loves him. What you don't hear them say is the team respects him. Love and respect are two different things.
Mm.
They can love
maybe
that
they
guy.
Love him because they let him. They let them kind of do what they
want.
Yeah,
it's a free for all out there. And I saw people ripping on Judge because he's smirking last night after the loss. Did you actually hear what he said when he was smiling?
No.
He asked him about his arm, how he feels. So yeah, maybe he just cracked a smile because he's like, yeah, I feel good, you know, instead of just being depressed all the time. It's like something that he can feel a little bit better about. So it wasn't like, yeah, we lost, guys. It's funny. No, I was talking about his friggin' elbow. I think people read into things a little bit too much here. And I get it. We're all mad. We want them to sit there, you know, with the noose around their neck, but they're not going to do that. Especially this guy thought he was probably facing Tommy John surgery, and he's back on a baseball field in less than 2 weeks. So,
although Mr. Wesker's says, won't the manager get replaced if they stand up to Cashman? So they're just going to all go on strike to Cashman. How'd that go? Yeah. Yeah. So guys, listen up here, guys. All right. This isn't on me. All right. I made some great moves at the deadline. All right. We just have to start performing.
Bird, okay.
All right. Except, well, listen, there is a theory out there that Bird, the name Bird does not really correlate well with baseball. Okay. First, we had Greg Bird. Of course, we had the Bird that Randy Johnson absolutely demolished. It's just not, birds are not great for baseball. All right. So, I mean, we'll maybe have him back up. But for now, yeah, maybe Colorado won that trade.
You want
Rich
handle,
Squires in the
you
super
handle
chat
that
there.
One? Okay.
Yeah, welcome to the woke version of the Bronx Zoo.
Okay, there you go. Thank you, Rich, for the super chat. I don't know really how to comment on that other than thank you for
all
your
right,
super
thank
chat.
All right, thank you. Nice $5 super chat.
All right, let's try to be a little
national slot money there.
Yeah, they traded Oswald Peraza for international slot money.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know Cashman loves his international slot money.
Oh, yeah, give me that.
Hey, Brian, can I ask you a question while you're bopping in and out
hey,
here?
Hey, since I'm here, you know, I'm here for the moment. Who knows?
Okay. So we haven't had a first baseman in like 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Matt Olson was available. They wanted Oswald Peraza. He said no.
Yeah.
And now you traded him for international slot money. Care to comment?
Well, yeah. Don't forget Freddie Freeman was also a name that was being thrown out there as a possible first baseman. Bryce Harper was another guy. Two that, you know, I just kind of maybe I made a move that I shouldn't have made. And, you know, Paul Goldschmidt has looked good and Bellinger could also play first base. So, you know, no comment, but I did get a lot of good money there. And, you know, we're going to use that for some more international signings. And maybe there's a nice first baseman over there, the DR or Venezuela, somewhere we can kind of get one of those guys over here and, put on a nice big first baseman's bet.
Okay, so there you go, Brian. Thank you so much. Okay.
Yeah, anytime. All right.
Yeah, that was that. I mean, you're just at a situation here where the things are going so poorly for the Yankees. They get walked off on Monday night, and one of their big acquisitions, because you can't say Jake Bird wasn't, despite the numbers. I mean, you traded one of your top 10 prospects to get him, plus other guys. They optioned into Triple A. I mean,
Jake Bird looks like Garrett, like, you know, that meme. It's like, I want to go, like, we have Garrett Cole at home. What is it? It's like, I want to go out to eat. It's like the Walmart version of Garrett
Cole.
He
looks like Garrett Cole.
Yeah, he looks just like him to me.
I got to look again because every time I see Cam Schlittler from behind.
Him too.
I'm like, is Garrett's with the team? And I'm like, no, that's Cam Schlittler.
They're both. Maybe I just miss Cole so much.
I think Jake Bird looks more like Tim Hill, but the Timu version.
Here he is.
Sorry, that's what I was looking for. T-mover.
You see him? He said he's coming to say hi.
Who's that?
You just said you missed him. Here he is.
Did you? Were you home when those earthquakes hit? Because I wonder what that room looked like.
Oh yeah, your bobbleheads.
That would have been the moment for you to be in that room. It was probably awesome. And you weren't there.
No, last year I felt the earthquake and it didn't. I don't think anything happened.
I didn't feel it this time. Crackle Nuts, I actually do like unfrosted Pop-Tarts, so. All right. I do like those.
Really? I'm just sitting here reading everything he's saying. I'm loving it.
I haven't had them in a while, but I do remember liking them. I'm like, these are actually kind of good.
I got into a fight with somebody one time when he told me that unfrosted Pop-Tarts are better than frosted Pop-Tarts. I was like,
I'm not saying they're better.
I was like, I will fuck you up right now.
But I like them. They're like a it's like a thicker coat though in the middle. It's like they put more the
Oh, there's more
jelly
jam
in
the middle.
It seems like there's more jam in there.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. That might change.
Well,
it
I should have led
little.
With that.
You buried the lead.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Wait, I wasn't looking at the screen. I'm behind because I didn't realize I was watching on YouTube and I'm a little behind. And now I just saw
the
bobblehead.
I was wondering why you weren't picking up on it.
I didn't realize I wasn't on Zoom just now. No, I was behind and now I just saw it on the screen. But yeah, I got it. I thought you just wanted me to do a Cole impression.
I do. That is the reason I put it up there.
Well, yeah. You know, I haven't done it in a while, but here I am. I miss pitching, just sitting there watching and just, it's really hard. I do look like Schlittler. Maybe one I'll be able to pitch an inning and they won't notice.
Sneak you in there?
Sneak me in there. I'll be a little Schlittler.
Crackle Nuts is disputing your claim that they have more.
There isn't more jam. Oh, man, Crackle Nuts.
Are you going to take
Come
his
on,
word?
Crackle.
Are you taking his
I can't
word?
Remember. I cannot recall.
I haven't had Pop-Tarts in years, so I don't know.
Have you looked at the aisle?
Frosted. No. They have
freaking Boston cream donut Pop-Tarts. I don't buy Pop-Tarts. I bought those.
I don't like Boston cream donuts.
All right, next time I'm there.
Because you're a loser. You eat the green part of watermelon.
What?
I'll buy Crackle
Nuts.
I don't
know,
though. The green part of a watermelon. I'll get them, though. I'll get them next time, and then I'll get a frosted version, and we'll compare, and we'll see if they're
better. You got it, but you have to do it on the show. You can't.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
I grew up on Hostess brand Pop-Tarts, and let me tell you something. Those things suck.
What is the Pop-Tart brand anyway?
It's Pop-Tart.
It's just
Kellogg's, yeah.
It is Kellogg, right?
Yeah, I had the Hostess ones.
Okay, can I ask a serious question here?
Yeah, Crackle Nuts. I'll get both next time. No
how
problem.
Did we get? How did we get here?
It was because I commented on Crackle Nuts saying that my favorite. I love unfrosted Pop-Tarts.
Thank you for
no problem.
Making me seem like I didn't go crazy here.
They have a peanut butter Pop-Tart that's not frosted with a little bit of sugar on it.
Ooh. Yeah.
I found those ones, yeah, and I tore those up until I got hard.
Those in the freezer, too.
You know, it's really hard for me to transition. It's really hard for me to transition into yelling about Devin Williams when you guys are talking about friggin'.
Why? Devin Williams is a Pop-Tart. So
there you go.
That's perfect.
There you go.
That's
lay up.
Segue.
Lay up. I was waiting.
It's an unfrosted Pop-Tart.
You see how good of a show host I am? I laid that up for you guys. I was waiting for somebody to take it.
He's a Hostess Pop-Tart because he sucks.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Okay. Brought to you by... Okay.
It's not brought to you by Kellogg's.
No, that's why I didn't say it, okay? I mean, you don't like that.
If it was, we wouldn't be doing it from three separate...
Hey, dude, the audio podcast was brought to you by Diet Coke that I listened to, the most recent one, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I only drink Coke Zero, okay?
Same here. We talk.
I drink
now.
Pepsi.
We lost the segue. Now,
shit.
Damn it.
I'm a zero.
No, because fucking Devin Williams is a zero, just like Coke Zero.
Okay, there you go. Back around here.
Coke Zero, so good.
So we got to talk about Max Fried here for a second. This guy has just not been the same pitcher over his last six or seven starts. I don't know if the blister is hampering him or what, but he's just not been that guy here for an extended period of time here. But what I will get, because, you know, what we've lauded Max Fried about, and this will tie into Devin Williams in a second. This is why I wanted to get here first. What we've lauded Max Fried about is that when the Yankees lose ball games, he goes out there and he spins a gem and the losing streak stops. So, coming off the Miami series, we had the right guy on the mound and a favorable pitching matchup because the Yankees mashed lefties, right? And they did that early. They put up three quickly, but it reminded me almost of Game 5 when Judge hit that ball up 5-0 and it just missed. And I said that was the momentum breaker right there, right? And then we all remember what happened. And the Yankees leaving the bases loaded in each of those first two innings. They went 0-for-3 with the bases loaded in the first two innings of Monday's game. That was the momentum breaker. They didn't add on there, and then Max Fried goes out there and he gives up four runs. And you can tell he's pressing because he never makes errors, and he throws the ball in the friggin' center field to get to give
the
Texas
bases loaded pickoff move, right?
But what I will give Max credit for is that after Giancarlo Stanton, Ryan, I texted this to you. I've never seen a baseball hit like that on a major league field before.
That if thing that's at Yankee Stadium, that goes through the netting and it smashes a monument.
It definitely it might break the window of that of the restaurant.
Yeah,
for sure.
That was a bullet.
Braden Beast wanted to pay $2 to tell everybody that he added the GOAT Masahiro Tanaka to his personal his PC. We all love Masahiro Tanaka here, so congratulations.
Yeah. That's sweet.
Yeah, but what card was it? Now I want to know.
Yeah. Now you know Sem's got it. Sem wants.
Is it a Topps Chrome? Is it like a Dynasty? What is it?
I gotta know. Auto patch auto. Rookie,
yeah. Is it?
You know.
Is it a 1/50? Is it a gold? Is it a wave refractor? There's so many different cards out there. You're just so open ended. I need to know now.
He's gonna lose sleep over this if you don't tell.
I probably will.
All right. So after I'm telling you, man, like I really wanted the Yankees to win that game just so I could post that highlight because I only do highlight videos of when they win. I wanted that to be on my page forever. That home run. I've never seen a ball hit like that one other time. And this kid, Wes Swackhammer of Del Barton High School, hit never with
Swackhammer living up to his name there.
Never would a wooden bat that I ever see a baseball hit like that before. This kid, we played Del Barton, and I'll never forget it. You can ask me to remember this sound on my deathbed. It was ping, and the ball was gone. Gone. That ball was a line. And Ryan, you played baseball. And Sam, I think you've probably been out, smoked weed behind the baseball field.
No.
For a high school field, we had a big high school field.
Oh.
The fences were deep.
There basically wasn't a fence. It was just like a lining that you would have there so the ball wouldn't roll under.
And that went ping, and before you heard the sound stop, that ball was in the ShopRite parking lot.
On the varsity field. Was he a lefty?
Yes.
Yeah, so he pulled it over there.
And it was a solid line drive. I've never seen anything close to that before in my life until Stan hit that ball, and he did it with a wooden bat. I was like, wow, they have to win this game, right? Except for then, you know, it plays out exactly. Boone laid it out. Bang, 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 bang. Devin Williams, Yankees lose the game, right? I mean, because Devin Williams puts a changeup in the only spot that Jock Peterson's going to hit the ball out in. Jock Peterson, who had like a 480 OPS going into that at bat, guys hitting like 130 on the year.
Ryan Rucco and Coney didn't help.
The old announcing jinx. And the Yankees lose. And then in the post game, or no, it was it in the post game or was it with John Boy that he said he's going to start thinking about using other guys in the closer's role? So it doesn't matter. He said it, right? No. He said it. Yeah, and we're all saying it's about friggin' time because one of the Tampa games, I was on vacation that week. One of the Tampa games, and he blew a game in the ninth inning, right? The Yankees were up by one. He gives up, or they were up. They lost the first game. That was the game where they came back.
Oh, the one they won. Yeah.
They came back in the eighth, ninth, and tenth innings, right? They were down.
Yes.
They took the one run lead into the ninth inning. He gives up a two run home run. And then a couple of the games that he did save, he had given up runs. And it didn't cost them because they had multiple run leads. So he's been teetering on this for a while here. And then what does Boone do here? You take him out of the closer's role, but you still put him in a high leverage situation. So here's the thing now, right? Are we done seeing Devin Williams pitch in high leverage situations? Are we past this now? I think can we just say yes or no? Are we here talking past this?
Absolutely.
Hey, numbnuts.
I think why he had to in that game, right? Because I guess they couldn't use a lot of the newer guys in that one. They had used them up.
I'm going to get to that in 1 second, right? And Sam, you're past this. You're past Devin Williams in a high leverage situation.
I wouldn't put him in anything unless
for now.
You would put in a position player.
Devin Williams' season really turned the corner, to use a Boone-ism, when he got removed from the closer role. He had started to pitch a lot better, and then by necessity, the Yankees had to put him back in the closer role because Luke Weaver got hurt. So who knows if Devin Williams ever gets his job back if Luke Weaver never gets hurt? And then Luke Weaver came off the IL, and he was struggling too, so you were really caught between a rock and a hard place. You really had nowhere to go, right? But now with the influx of all these guys in the bullpen and with Weaver pitching better, you don't need Devin Williams to close baseball games anymore. So Aaron Boone, and here's the wildest part about Tuesday night's game. You could say Jason Dominguez has to catch that ball, and yeah, you know, he probably has to catch that ball, but also don't give up a 108-mile-an-hour rocket off the bat. How about that one?
Mm-hmm.
Then don't go and walk the next two guys. How about that one? And here's the wild thing about Boone. We're going to give him credit for today, but and maybe he really learned. Maybe finally something clicked in his head. And I'm not going to say in his brain, in that empty space where his brain is supposed to be. Maybe the two rocks that banged together up there, they rubbed together and created a little spark. And he finally learned from his mistakes here. Because last night, he's got Leiter and Bednard up with the bases loaded. Doesn't go to either any of them. He doesn't go to either of them. And the only person in the entire world that didn't think Rowdy Tellez was coming through in that situation was Aaron Boone. Because even Devin Williams will tell you, oh, I'm giving up a hit there. You guys are lucky. I only gave up a 2-run single.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
This is Devin Williams, the prize closer of the Milwaukee Brewers, who Milwaukee fans have told us this. Oh, he's gonna make you sweat it out in the ninth inning, and we're like, yeah, well, we lived through Aroldis Chapman and Clay Holmes. I mean, how bad could it really be here? When Pete Alonso hit that home run off of Devin Williams in game 3 of that wild card series last year, it broke Devin Williams. So fuck you, Pete Alonso. Okay. Pete Alonso broke Devin Williams last year. That started this snowball for Devin Williams, because Devin Williams then thought he was going to the Dodgers, only for Brian Cashman to then swoop in here and get Devin Williams by upping the trade offer. He comes here, and from day one, it was a problem with Devin Williams. Oh, I can't have my beard. The Steinbrenners have owned the Yankees for over 50 years, had this policy in place. They change it for Devin Williams, and it's still not good enough for him, because what does he do? He goes out there and becomes the biggest disaster imaginable. This guy has got poor body language every time he takes the mound, except for that one game against the Padres. Remember all the way back then? When have you ever seen positive, like, vibes coming off of Devin Williams? I've never seen somebody hate being a Yankee more than Devin Williams hates being a Yankee. It just bleeds through the television screen how much this guy hates being here. And Aaron Boone goes out of his way to make him feel good. well, Devin, you can't beat a closer, but here's some high leverage situation, even though everybody knows you don't belong here. The Yankees have done everything in their power to make this guy feel comfortable, to give him everything that he wants. And what does he do? He vomits all over the mound every single chance that he gets. That's what Devin Williams does. And on August 5th, or I've been saying August 5th all day, it's August 6th.
Yeah.
On August 6th, when the Yankees are clinging to their playoff lives, it is done. We are done worrying about Devin Williams' feelings. He doesn't like being a mop-up guy. Too bad. Get in the back of the line, because you got Mark Leiter Jr. back on this team, who, say whatever you want about him, will take the ball anytime you want him to take the ball. Fernando Cruz is coming back, and he'll take the ball anytime you want him to take the ball. Luke Weaver, who should have a problem with all of this, who was your closer in the World Series last year, is a dog. Actually, he's a ferocious jungle cat, and will take the ball anytime you want him to take the ball. Camilo Duvall was a closer. Will take the ball anytime you want him to take the ball. And our new closer, I don't want to hear any arguments from anybody, David Bednar, is a dog. He went out there and pitched his guts out today and made sure the New York Yankees came home with a win. Told Boone, I got this. And he got the Yankees a win. I'm done worrying about, I've never cared about Devin Williams' feelings, and I hope this team is done caring about Devin Williams' feelings. You can't get the job done. Too bad. Get in the back of the bullpen. When we're up 10 or down 10, we'll give you a call. Enough now. This is done. The Devin Williams experiment has been a massive, massive failure, and we're done worrying about his feelings. He doesn't like riding the pine. He doesn't like being called up in mop-up games. Go home. I'm over it now.
Like Ryan said,
go ahead, Sam.
Like Ryan said, like the guy's playing for a lot of money. Right. If that's not I can't get the word out. I'm stuttering on the word.
No, incentive enough.
Okay, that's that not of that word. I'm not gonna be able to say it. If that's not enough motivation to get you to get out there to do your job and do it well, I don't know what it is. What is? How do you sit there and throw away millions and millions more money than we'll ever make, the three of us combined, this guy lost this year because he goes out there and shits the bed? And shame on Aaron Boone for putting him in those situations. You know the guy sucks. Why do it?
Daughter, you want to know what the card is?
Oh, it's a. I looked it up. It's. I think it's this card. Hold on. Is this your card? Is this your card?
So you have it?
Oh, I want that.
Oh, I already. That's why I looked it up right away. It is nice.
Oh, sweet.
I like really, really want it. 2020 top Sterling Tanaka dual jersey auto game used.
On Mary Ellen in the chat said, "Why didn't they trade him at the deadline?" Because A, he's got his value. Exactly. He's probably got zero value, and the Yankees thought that by putting all this other pieces around him, that it wouldn't be a problem, and it's been a problem. You hear guys like Ryan McMahon and Austin Slater talking about what a joy. And again, like Milwaukee's usually pretty good every year, so they've had postseason success. Mm-hmm. And these guys are coming from two of the worst organizations in baseball. But what a joy it is, and like how excited they are to be a Yankee. I've never seen anybody just not want to be here. Does not want to be a Yankee. And and the thing that blows my mind, and people tell me to shut up about the beard policy. I'm not going to shut the fuck up about the beard policy. They made Andrew McCutchen, who was a waiver pickup, to play 30. How many games did he play for the Yankees, Ryan? 20 games?
If that.
They made him cut his fucking dreads. Yeah. They made him cut his hair to fit to this policy. But Devin Williams. Door, dude. Huh?
Poor roof net Odor.
Yeah, Odor. I mean, they all these guys that have come here and had long hair and beards, and this was the guy. They wanted to make him happy. And what does he do? All over the mound, every chance that he gets. And I was thinking about this. Like when Ryan, you were with me today, the show that we did, the grades, right? I think we were. I was like B minus for Williams. So I thought overall his body of work.
Yeah.
And I call, but B for buffoon, as in me. I'm a buffoon for giving him a B. This guy's a failure. He's failed at every junction here. Because you want to know what I did? This is why I don't listen to a lot of Yankee podcasts and a lot of Yankee talk on sports talk radio, because I don't want thoughts to inception in my brain. And I was listening to somebody make a case for Devin Williams, and he actually had been good. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it kind of makes sense if you take this, and they went into my grading. But no. There's not been one time this entire year that Devin Williams has been on the mound and I felt confident. He's blown four run leads. Not once. I've had more confidence in name the pitcher than Devin Williams. Mark Leiter Jr. can come in with the bases loaded and nobody out, and Devin Williams has a clean inning to hold a four run lead, and Leiter Jr.'s got to get three outs with the bases loaded to protect a one-run lead. I got more confidence in Mark Leiter Jr. to do that than Devin Williams.
Yeah. Here's a stat. Here's a Devin Williams stat.
Let me hear.
Devin Williams has now allowed 26 earned runs in 43 innings this season. That's good for a 5.44 ERA. From 2022 to 2024, when Williams was one of the best relievers in Major League Baseball with the Brewers, he gave up 26 earned runs over 141 innings. So in 43 innings this year, he's allowed 26 earned runs over 141 innings. With the Brewers, he allowed only 26 earned runs.
Mary Ellen, I love what you just said. I love it. It's probably one of the best comments I've seen in the chat ever in the history we've been doing this show. The Yankees said no to Juan Soto's request for a luxury box. We don't do that. Derek Jeter didn't get a luxury box. Mariano Rivera didn't get a luxury box. Aaron Judge doesn't have a luxury box. We can't give you a luxury box. But Devin Williams can get a beard. Devin Williams can get the beard. Juan Soto, who would have been the face of your franchise in the next 5 or 6 years after Judge retires, would have been here for 15 years. Can't get a luxury box. But Devin Williams, who will be gone and forgotten about in 2 months, beard. We'll give you what you want, buddy. And I understand beards don't cost money, luxury boxes. But it's insane to think about. When you put it in perspective like that, it's actually insane.
You want to hear something insane? I used ChatGPT and I said, hey, I'm on a podcast about the New York Yankees. Give me a stat that enforces the fact that Devin Williams sucked. And it says, Devin Williams, the guy has been serving up walks like it's happy hour. In 2025, he's rocking a walk rate of 14%, one of the worst among relievers with 30-plus innings. That's not control, that's chaos. You can't call yourself a shutdown closer when you're walking a batter every 7 hitters. That's not airbender, that's airball. ChatGPT just served fucking Devin Williams. He sucks.
Airbud.
Devin Williams got roasted by ChatGPT.
Well, they like their computers over there, so maybe they're using
exactly.
As much as we ripped on Clay Holmes, As much as we ripped on Clay Holmes, as much as we hated Clay Holmes as a closer, and the agita that this guy gave us, he was never this bad. Never.
No, and he shaved his face.
He shaved.
I mean,
well, and that's the most frustrating part with Williams too, because you got a guy at a 1.63 career ERA, 1.83 career ERA. So you're thinking like maybe that will offset and give us some more wins with the lack of offense, if you know, with Juan Soto leaving, with Gleyber Torres not being here anymore. So you'd hope that with him replacing Clay Holmes, who almost set the record for most blown saves in a season last year, that would kind of give this team's plus or minus. That would just give him a nice push in the right direction, and he's kind of just making it matters worse.
So honestly, if we're coming away from this week here, these past couple of games here, Devin Williams is the bigger villain to me right now than Aaron Boone is.
I agree.
Sam, what do you have to say about
I was just checking to see if he answered if that was his card or not. But no, I agree. Devin Williams sucks.
I mean, they both suck, and they both need to go.
No, but
Devin Williams is right in your face about it.
We're too spoiled with that guy.
But for me, man, it's just...
He's your closer.
He was your closer.
Yeah.
This is a guy Cashman wanted. He upped his trade package to get him, to snipe him from the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of on the boat of like, I can't really sit here and hold the front office and the coaching staff fully or majorly accountable for what they're doing here. I think it's players' lack of performance in the moments that matter, and they're losing games that they shouldn't, and that's the sign of a bad team. That, yes, maybe the coaching staff is playing a role in that, but I'm seeing players that aren't performing, that have performed, or that are supposed to be performing, that are supposed to take that next step, and they're not.
Is that
the manager not getting the most out of them, and then I don't know.
But it's crazy for me to... I'm not saying your point is wrong. What's crazy for me here is when Aaron Boone says that the loss on Friday disheartened the team and they were flat for the next 4 days.
Right. And that's your job.
Right. Bro. That's your job to make sure they're not flat for the next 4 days. Literally the tiniest ball hair is what you're holding on to keep a playoff spot. You got to make sure this team is ready to go every night.
I guess I always just hold it to the narrative on the modern day manager, which is that the manager in modern day baseball is not important or not as important as it maybe once was. And so then when they're winning a lot, well, it's not the manager's, the manager's not the reason they're winning. But when they're losing, it does seem that the manager still gets that flack where it's like, well, I thought the manager wasn't important. But like you're saying, what they should be important still for is to get the most out of their players and to lead that example and to have that sort of backing of their guys. And that's maybe not, we're not seeing that right now.
But
publicly, we're not seeing that. But who knows behind closed doors?
But just in these last stretch here, in these last six games, Aaron Boone has done enough to show you why he should not be the manager of this team. Why that somebody else could do a better job than he could do. Because I say this all the time. There are plenty of guys out there around the league that all believe in whatever the Yankees' philosophy is and that would go along with whatever Brian Cashman wants to do and would get more out of this club than what Aaron Boone is currently getting out of him. Okay. Sometimes things go stale too. That's another thing that people don't understand. Sometimes things go stale. He's not a 2-year manager. He's not a 3-year manager. 8 years. Eventually, if Joe Torre's message can get lost, Aaron Boone's message can certainly get lost, okay? If Tom Coughlin's message can get lost, Aaron Boone's message can get lost. These are championship coaches, managers in this town that we've seen here whose message got lost along the way. Aaron Boone doesn't have the hardware those guys have.
Mm-mm.
So don't tell me that his message can't get lost, that he can't get stale. And I'll go back to what I said. They love him. They don't respect him. And Lance Lynn was on a podcast. He said, and Lance Lynn was here for a cup of coffee. He played under Boone. You don't know this, but Boone handles things behind closed doors. Well, he handles things behind closed doors, and this is the result of it. Then the message is definitely getting lost. That these players definitely don't respect him on a man-to-man level like they should. They should respect their manager. That alone right there is enough reason to get rid of him. And like I said, in this past week of Boone showing you reasons why he shouldn't be the manager anymore, the team lost a heartbreaker, a game, like I said, 100 out of 100 times they will win if you replay that over and over and over and over again. That team, they did not rebound from that for an entire week almost. That's your job to make sure they rebound from that. And then after Devin Williams blew another game, on Monday night, a game you desperately needed to win. And he managed that game the right way, man. He got enough out of Max. He lined all those games. He lined up everybody the way they needed to be lined up. I'm not saying Aaron Boone cost the game on Monday night. He managed that game the right way. Got everybody in the times that they should have been in. And that should have been the final straw for Devin Williams. Except for that, you put him in another high leverage spot the very next night. And with Bednar and Leiter warming, you still left him in the game. You left him in the game there. And then here's you want to watch somebody's head explode? I'm sure it happened to thousands of Yankee fans when they heard this last night. He was asked why you had Leiter warming up and didn't bring him into the game. He said, well, it's because he hasn't pitched in a while. It was a tough spot to bring him into.
Nestor Cortez.
I don't even have to say it. I don't even have to say it. And then after Devin Williams gives up some runs, he lets him pitch to another batter. And then he brings in Mark Leiter Jr. I mean, what else do you guys want to see here? Seriously, what else is I would love to have an honest to God conversation with somebody that supports Aaron Boone as the manager of this team. And yeah, I get it. He can't make, you know, Nate Eovaldi was nasty on Tuesday night. Nobody was hitting him. He can't make the Yankees score runs. There's plenty of other things that he can control that go sideways all the time for this team. And why did they keep having the Boone swoon in June? Okay? Ooh. Cat in the hat.
Nice tone.
And why has this one lasted so much longer? This team is not a bad... I'm sorry. This team is not a bad baseball team. There's a lot of good talent on this team. They should not be in the funk that they're in. Why are we seeing Jason Dominguez now seemingly regress as a baseball player?
Yeah, that's a big one for me.
Yeah, why do you think that keeps happening?
The lack of consistency, right? Is what you're getting at?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just hard when you're, you know, the guy who I guess is getting in the way of that is Trent Grisham, right? And he's has the second most home runs on the team. So it's hard.
I mean, I know Paul Goldschmidt's had a couple of home runs here recently, but they came against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, Goldschmidt,
he can't hit right-handed pitching.
I know, but then his glove over there at first, but Bellinger could play a solid first.
Austin Wells, I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on with Austin Wells. I mean, these are things that can be easily controlled. And I know the Austin Slater injury kind of ruins my thought process here that Belly should be playing first base against right-handed pitching because now you don't have another outfielder. And this is a big problem here. Giancarlo Stanton's been one of your hottest hitters, and he can't get on the he can't play because Judge has got a DH right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Boone said that, you know, he didn't want to do it in Texas on the turf, a bigger outfield. You know, maybe he might think about it at home. Did you all see Giancarlo Stanton try to beat out a double play yesterday?
Yeah, it wasn't moving.
Does anybody want to see Giancarlo Stanton in the outfield?
Kind of. That'd be kind of cool to see.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Track down there. You don't want to see that?
No, not really. I don't want to see Giancarlo Stanton literally disintegrate like it was the Thanos snap.
Thanos snap.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I don't know, bro.
We started off the show saying You know, it was a good win today, gutsy win today. But what has really changed here other than the fact that Aaron Boone maybe, possibly, if we want to think like that, saved his job today? Nothing. The Yankees have a big series out.
That's what I was going to say.
The Yankees want to prove something to everybody.
Right.
Sweep the Houston Astros right now.
Right. Now is the time. This game gave them a little bit more breathing room to now make a statement in this series against Houston.
Go sweep the Houston Astros at home. A team that you have not beaten in a big spot, going all the way back to 2015.
That's been the thorn.
Even pre-Boone, they haven't
pre-Boone.
They haven't beaten the Houston Astros in a big spot. You want to get
that wild card game?
Were you?
Yeah, 2015 Tanaka.
Chris and I were drinking Natty Bows in the parking lot.
I wasn't with you guys. You guys had separate tickets. I think I even got there a little late. When I was walking in, who's the guy with the long hair on the Astros, the left fielder, Reddick? He was hitting a home run as I was walking in off of Tanaka.
Oh yeah, the game was over.
Yep. Yeah, it was backed up. The staff was just fucking couldn't get into that stadium that day.
Yeah, we were pounding Natty Bows in the parking lot.
Hell yeah. No, yeah, I wasn't with you guys. We were there, but not together.
Remember when we were on that? Were you around when we were on that Natty Bow kick?
Kinda, but not really. No.
And then I realized I was drinking him at his wedding. I'm like, this beer sucks.
Yeah, definitely. Now that you mentioned the wedding, because we were drinking them at the apartment before the wedding.
Yeah, I was so fucking hammered.
Oh my god, I was so gone by the cocktail hour. I was. Out.
I really don't remember
my speech. Yeah.
Did somebody almost die at his wedding?
I don't think so.
Yeah, one of his groomsmen's girlfriend like passed out or something.
Really? I was blacked out by then.
Oh, we'll have to ask him later. But
yeah, definitely. I don't remember. Can't recall.
Let's bring the show home here. But yeah, so yeah, Roy said they were 7-1 against Houston last year. Okay.
Come on, man. Come on, dude.
I thought last year it was a nice.
Roy, come on. I want you to make another comment there. It's write an LOL on another one.
I thought, honestly, though, I think we came on here after the Yankees swept Houston to open the season that we felt that things made it, that was a big statement for the Yankees, right? That got them off and saying that maybe this team.
Yeah, that was cool.
But now we're a season.
Just messing with you, Roy.
But a season opening series is not the postseason, is not where the Yankees are right now.
No, and look at what Houston was last year. They weren't really there.
Now this is time for the Yankees. The Yankees have, because we're after this series against Houston, the Yankees have a chance to really go on a run here. Because if you look, and again, look at their schedule.
Yeah.
It's Houston, Minnesota, St. Louis, Tampa Bay before they face Boston for four, and then Washington and the White Sox. Ooh,
Boston for four is going to be nice.
So if you take out that Boston series, the rest, these are all very winnable series for the Yankees here. So if you want us to believe here that this was, even though the four or five other games we mentioned, but this is the one, today is the one, then you got to go out there and at least take two out of three from the Astros here.
For sure. Got to win this series against Houston. It's right in front of us.
I heard somebody says that a lot, by the way.
Right, yeah, I've heard there. A few people saying that now. It's like a virus.
So the Yankees are going to be off on Thursday here. And
Scott, don't even say that, bro. I really don't want. He just said if Seattle catches Houston, we'll be in a battle with the Astros for a wild card. I really don't want to face Houston in a wild card series. Although it is better now that there's the best of three in the first round. The Yankees have to get there first before we're worrying about who they match up best against. So,
well, when Pete presented this to me today, he just said, "You guys want to do the show live on Wednesday because we got a little tied up on Thursday here." I said, "Yeah, you know what? This I do because then I can take a mental health break from this team on on Thursday.
Yeah,
no game,
for real.
No podcast. We can just like not have to think about the Yankees for one full day here. But then they'll be back in action on Friday to start this big series against the Houston Astros. It's good. Again, I mean, you look at the pitching matchups, and it's going to be tricky for the Yankees here because you got Hunter Brown pitching to a 2.45 ERA against Cam Schlittler. And I think Schlittler's
big
done a
Schlitt.
I think Commander.
What?
You know what I almost said?
What?
You said the big Schlitt.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Yeah.
I am the Schlitt Commander.
I almost said that.
Every time you see Schlitt, you'll see this face.
I think Schlittler's done a commendable job this year, but what I've seen out of him is a guy that does need a little bit more seasoning in AAA.
Mm-hmm. Well, this could be like his AAA. Fucking right in the fire.
But the Yankees decided that was better than Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, which that's another an example of their mindset is a little bit different these days. I'm not trying to show them any positivity. You talk about the possibility of Aaron Boone getting fired and them going against what they've done in the past. That's a good example of it because years past, they're sticking with the Stroman type over an up-and-comer.
Well, DJ LeMay has been gone for, what, a month now?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's why I'm saying, if you want to look at it, that's why I keep saying, did this win save Aaron Boone here, man? Could you imagine?
They've
lost today. The pitching matchup's not in their favor on Friday. Mm-hmm. You're gonna
Thursday. They like that off day firing.
You're gonna trot him out possibly on a 7-game losing streak on Old
now,
Timers
Day.
Now,
do you invite him to Old Timers Day?
That would have been awkward, right? He's already there as an old.
Or is that how you fire him, Brian Cashman, in the office? All right, come in here. Here's I got you some tickets for Old Timers Day. We want you to play, but you're not gonna be the manager anymore. That's imagine he broke it to him like that.
Well, he was a dick to Derek Jeter. He was a dick to Aaron Judge. So why?
Yeah. I mean, I'll take anybody over you, Cheat. I want Troy Tulowitzki.
And then again, the Old Timers Day Saturday, it's a 2:05 first pitch for the game. And again, it's not a favorable pitching matchup for the Yankees because Framber Valdez with an 11-5 record, 2.83 against Luis Gil, what version of Luis Gil are we going to get? We're going to get the guy we saw on Sunday that's working himself back from being out for 4 months, or are we going to get something closer to the rookie of the year? I mean,
yeah, that's another reason why Schlittler's performance is even more important there, because you want to get some innings out of him just in case you're going to get a repeat of what you saw from Gil last time.
And then you're going to close out the series on Sunday with a 1:35 first pitch against with Max Fried. Against TBD. So, I mean, and this is a big game for Max Fried. Max Fried's got a nut up in this game, man. I'm sorry. I've said a lot of nice things about Max Fried. I said Gerrit Cole has my heart, but Max Fried's going to steal it. Well, you know what? You want to take it from me, Max? You go and nut up in this game right here, man. You put those big Max Fried balls on the mound, and you go out there and pitch me a 7-inning gem.
Yeah. Need to split those first two for Fried. And then you go into that third game. Because I'll tell you, that game today, that last inning today felt a very playoff atmosphere. Big time.
No, for
that's
sure.
A big start for Fried on Sunday.
So if the Yankees can figure out a way.
Split those first two. That's all you can ask for. And then you hope Fried will finish it off. Because that's all you can ask for in baseball. You don't want to win games. You want to win series.
And then you got I've got a very depleted Twins team coming in here. I mean, this is it here, man. This is it. If the Yankees don't get it going here in the next 2 weeks, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen for them.
Right, because that's Minnesota's the team that you gain ground on, because that's the team they usually do that with. So you're right that these next couple of series are make or break for this season.
And again,
and started Scott, today without a win.
And again, Scott's right. He said Houston's pitching won't be much different from what we face in a playoff series.
Sure. Yeah, this is a playoff series, because in that sense, right there. Although you would have Fried to counteract one of those two, but still. Well, although not necessarily if you're not getting Houston in the first round, if you're meeting them again. whatever. But huge series. It's nice that we're getting to this point of the year now, though, where it is becoming more magnified, and now it's just the time where they got to put up.
But the fact that we're in this position is,
yeah, come on, man. I mean, that's the worst part of it.
So I mean, if we look at the standings real quick before we say goodbye, the Yankees, Boston lost tonight. Wow, look at that. The Yankees are 6 games behind the Toronto Blue Jays for first place in the American League East. And in the wild card race, they are the I want to vomit when I say this. The Yankees are the third place wild card team. They're a game up on Cleveland. A game up on Cleveland.
Yeah.
They're a game behind Seattle for that second spot, and then they're 2 games behind Boston for that top wild card. So I mean, so the Mets did the Yankees no favors by getting swept by the Guardians this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a Juan Soto ninth inning home run to stop them from getting no hit today.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah. As the Mets lost 8 of 9, their fans are cheering Gavin Williams as he comes off the mound after he lost a no hitter today.
Mm.
Crazy.
Good for them.
So
all right. Well, we'll get Boston again later in the year, which is good. I'm just looking at the schedule because I kind of just fucking hate how September. It's just, the schedule is generated by a computer, so there's no such, real heart to it in September.
And then if you want to look at where the Mets are right now,
yeah, they're on a bit of a skid themselves, right?
They've lost 8 of 9. They're on a 4-game losing streak. They lost 8 of 9. The Mets are 3 games behind the Phillies for first place, and they're holding on. I mean, they have a little bit of a cushion, but they're the third wild card team. They're up 3 games on the Cincinnati Reds. If I honestly, what we expected out of both of these teams in New York, for them to be playing this piss poorly in August, and for both of them to be the third wild card in each of their respective leagues is crazy. I
tell you, they've had eerily similar years, Yankees and Mets. They're doing it the same things at the same time, pretty much. They get hot, they get cold, they go on these rough streaks. It's not a great year for New York sports. What else is new? Seattle up 2-1, according to Scott Wright. Only the second inning. It is early in that game. There's still hope. But come on, we can't be worried about Seattle. They're going to fall apart.
Well, the Yankees, I mean, the Yankees on the tiebreaker with them. I mean, this is what we're looking at right now.
Let's be on the optimistic side of things. If I didn't lose connection, am I still here? Because it looks like I might have. Whatever. Yeah, all right. Their schedule lightens up, so hopefully they could turn our tides around as fans, because there's one thing the Yankees are good at. It's getting us to change our tunes immediately. Like, all of a sudden, after a couple really good games, we're saying this is a World Series caliber team. So hopefully that's coming. We just got to be optimistic and hope they could just turn a corner here with this win today.
Well, what I would like you to do is do this, okay? What did you say, Ryan? What was that? What did you say? Change their tune? Okay.
Change the tune, yeah.
I'm going to bring this home now. So if you haven't already left us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast platform, change that tune and do so, please, okay? And make sure you are subscribed to the NYYST podcast on your favorite podcast platform. Tell everybody we are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. If you've been in the chat tonight, thank you so much. We love like we said, man, this is why we wanted to change the day and come out here and do the show live. We love the energy of the live audience and doing the shows live. So if you're still here, thank you. Make sure you like this video and subscribe to NYY Underground. Loved having both of you guys on the show here tonight. Always fun when SGR is around and his multiple personalities.
Okay. All right. We like that. We do.
So we want to thank everybody for the continued support of the show. And we want to thank everybody for listening and watching episode 484 SGR.
Let's go, Yanks.
Sam, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Can't make a promise, but I do my best. 25 sitting on 25 racks. Just got started, no, we ain't done yet. Bought a new crib, that's a goddamn flex. Sign that check. Told him last year that I've been up next. Can't take calls, but I send that text. From way